Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 6, Episode 10 of Before the 90 Day, a.k.a. This Is Your Warning. This episode was a little too OTT, so much so that I'm giving you the heads up ahead of time. This is a not safe for work podcast episode because some of the details of some people's activities that we're going to talk about get into more detail that we would have even wanted to hear. So we're going to have to relay those. So here's the heads up. Either use headphones or proceed with absolute caution. I am, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Puyazin Bakili, ready to break it all down once more. And with me today, not a stranger to these shows, not a stranger to mess, not a stranger to the nonsense we have to deal with. It is the one and only, one half of the Mess Magnets, one half of the many, many shows talking about Marvel properties over on Post Show Recaps. It is the one and only, Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
You know, I'm here. Okay, you said NSFW episode, who do I call? Of course, me. Because we've talked about so much weird sex things. And here I am. You put out the bat signal, I made it.
Yeah, it's so funny to me because it feels like these are always a gamble because I don't really know what's going to be covered before I book the guest. And then when I watch the episode, I'm like, oh, I feel bad because this person has to come and talk about this. You have to talk about some of the wildest things. I think this is the wildest things I've ever seen on this show that we're going to have to describe today. So, yay.
We love to see it.
All right. Well, let's just rip the Band-Aid then and answer the question of, wait, Puya, which couple are you referring to? Gino and Jasmine. It was never in doubt this was going to be Gino and Jasmine who were describing with all of this. So last we saw them, they had gone to the therapist and, you know, the therapy helped. They got the counseling they needed. Looks like they're on a better path. And Gino ended up buying Jasmine a bit of a promise ring, a.k.a. I promise not to cause any more drama and to listen and to understand you better. So that looks good. Now they're booking a trip to Western Panama. They're going somewhere close to where Gino had proposed to Jasmine in the past. So that's going to be fun. However, Sasha, on the way to the airport, we learn that last night they ordered nachos, specifically Gino did, and the nachos had more bean dip than nacho. And Gino, despite knowing his stomach's not going to agree with him, ate all the bean dip and now has diarrhea. So, yay.
God, I don't understand. We should have known where this was going, right? Because Scene one, opening scene of these two is talking about ridiculous body issues. And it just keeps going and going and going. So TBH, they helped us out, I think. And they prepped us and we just didn't heed the warning.
Yeah, they gave us a heads up that, listen, we're going to tell you stuff that you're not going to want to hear. But then they went on the other side of things as opposed to like the gross like medical disaster side. They went to the we'll get there. So they end up going on this trip. And the whole reason they're doing this trip is because Gino has realized Jasmine has been feeling a lack of intimacy in the relationship. So he would like to get intimate with her, and a new change of scenery could definitely help that. So they get to the hotel they've booked, and she says, listen, I've got something I want to show you, so I'll go and I'll be right back. So she goes, she gets changed by the looks of things and is wearing a towel and says, you should unwrap me like I'm your present. So he pulls the towel off and she is in a lingerie. Okay. And then I thought, okay, that's that, you know, that's par for the course. Cool. You're trying to spice things up, a little lingerie. Cool. Then she escalates. It says, no, I brought you gifts. All right, Sasha, would you like to do the honors of telling us what the gifts were?
Woo! herself, of course. And also folks running overtime, right? Having to censor all this because just a lace one piece. You'll love to see it. And then, of course, it starts with basic, you know, BDSM gear where we have some support. Yeah, just it doesn't feel that amazing because we get a little whip. We have a gag, a ball gag. Is that what it's called? You know, and I was just like, does Gino like that Jasmine can't talk?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, because handcuffs, ball gag, and like what do you call it?
Oh yeah, handcuffs too. Yeah.
Yeah,
and a whip.
The handcuffs. Yeah. And a whip, yeah. And it was one of those like smaller whips with like the multiple
fringe,
yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. This got Gino very excited. He was very much into it. He started saying bad girl and you know,
oh, it's taking a flogger, the whip to her. Sorry, I just looked it up. Not
flopper.
Whip. Flogger.
Oh, flogger. Yeah, well, was this a self-report that I didn't know what this item was? Yes.
Yes. And what? Okay. Sorry, flogger. Listen, I don't want people being like, you don't know anything. So I look.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, this, you know, it is the learning channel and they are educating us, I guess. So thank you, TLC. Please don't keep it coming. We learned enough. So he keeps saying, you've been a bad girl and da da da. And she starts, she's really into it. She's feeling desired. She likes that Gino's taking a little charge here. And then they don't let us see anymore, which I'm not mad at.
Thank you. Thank you, listen, TLC.
Thank you so much. At this point, Sasha, I thought, okay, this is what the next time on was. We've seen the thick of it. We've seen the worst of it. It's fine. Everything's fine. But there was one more scene. So in the next scene, we open it up and Jasmine tells Gino to in front of the cameras, you know, I'm just so happy that you ejaculated for the first time while having sex and you didn't have to go to the bathroom to like masturbate. And I was like, and Gino's clearly like feeling a little shy about this. That's cool. Whatever. I was like, okay, yeah, good for them. They arrived. They completed. That's great. Mission accomplished. But no, this couple has to tell us more, Sasha. So let's peel back the layers a couple and get to the confessional. Because at the confessional, Jasmine tells us how she got him to that point and what she did that got him in the mood to complete and to arrive at the destination.
Sasha. I would like to end it all.
Like, I will say I it so like, you don't have to say it.
I would like to fall off a cliff.
Oh,
that
God.
I watched this.
I'm going to give you another heads up, audience. Really, if you thought, oh, you're not going to say anything, that no, you need to put headphones on, okay?
1,000%.
All right. Jasmine peed on Gino's chest, gave him the golden shower, and that helped get there. Now, listen, I don't kink shit. Okay, I know it's coming off like we're kink shaming. We're not kink shaming. But when I tell you, I did not see this coming. at all.
No, I just don't understand it. And here's what I want to shame, okay? And it's not the kinks, because whatever, all right? All I'm saying is, first of all, how rude to do that in a jacuzzi.
Is it, do you think it's like a private jacuzzi, or do you think this is shared between like the other units around them?
Even maybe it's in the bathroom, right? It, like a jacuzzi.
They don't own it. So I agree that it's like, yeah, you're just going to leave this to be cleaned by somebody
That's
else.
That's what I'm saying. That's disgusting. First of all,
they're the reason why Airbnb charges you the same amount to clean as they do for the room itself. Okay. Blame Gino and Jasmine.
Probably still doesn't get clean for all we know.
Oh, God, I don't want to think about that.
Well, I'm never leaving my house. that's number one. Secondly, I feel like there is some disconnect. I think that's the nicest way I can put it for Jasmine, right? Where I think she's so desperate for him to first of all, she's obsessed with him like finishing. Right? I think that's the issue.
Well, I feel like up until this point, she has thought I'm the problem. And right, now that's happened. So it's like, oh my God. Okay. I'm not the problem. This is because I think the biggest thing that we've learned about Jasmine this season is that she feels insecure.
Right.
And she feels undesirable by Gino. Despite Gino saying all the right things, she clearly gets that validation that he wants her through like the physical touch being her love language. So this is like the peak of physical touch. It's like, oh, I helped do that. Is good. Yeah.
Yeah. So then that's why I think all of this is like really sad almost, right? Because she, I think, is coming from a place of insecurity. She'll do whatever. And then he, I guess, is like, not that he's taking advantage. I think he's so lost in the sauce that he's just kind of going along with anything at this point.
What do you mean?
Like, I just feel like he's like, she wants me. So she wants me to do this so bad, right? Like, she's constantly asking for sex. Even last episode, we kept hearing when he gave the promise ring, he's like, and I'll give you meat. Like, you know, he said that, right? Like,
that was part of the promise was, yeah, I will give you more meat. And it so was not like at a deli.
Exactly. So I feel like all of this together is just giving like they're both trying to meet each other halfway. And it's just coming across like we have to spice things up when actually you should just keep going to therapy.
Yeah, I feel like this is a huge we know because they love oversharing, these two, that they've had sex a total of 7 times in the relationship. If this is not, this has been introduced now and hasn't been a thing before, I'm genuinely almost curious how they got there that night. Why couldn't we have had the conversations leading up to the pee? Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of want to know how we got there, because it feels like it escalated quickly. If you're going from, you know, 7th time to 8th time, and then out of nowhere you're doing this, I feel like I would like to know how we got there.
Yep.
Gino don't seem like the type to share. I don't know if Gino was like, so something I like that really gets me going is this. I don't necessarily trust that Gino got there. I want to know how they got there. It's almost like you told me how the story ends. I want the lore. Give me how we led up to here. And that's just my
curiosity.
Because
you can't just like slap me in the face, right? And be like, okay, that's it. I can't give you any more reasons why I did this. Because the whiplash that we had to see all of this, it's like some stuff just keep private. And I'm not a prude, so I hate that I'm even saying this. But it's just the way these two move is like actually just makes me sad for both of them. And I'm just like, ugh, like this isn't fun to watch.
It is. It was a lot. And I feel like, you know, they definitely made it feel that way by framing it the way they did. Definitely. Because it felt like, oh, it's done. Like he, you know, arrived.
He has his hat on right through all of this, which I know like is a belabored point, but it was so funny this woman is practically naked.
Well, did you notice when she was like, oh, you look sexy at the beginning, and they panned in onto his socks?
I did not. Oh my God.
Yeah, no. And later, so the whole other thing that happens is they go horseback riding, and he's wearing a hat over the helmet, which was made no sense to me. But then the non-sex conversation side of things comes when he asks, they took a couple pictures, a couple selfies, and he said, can you send those to me? I want to share them with my family. And she was like, listen, I want to say this one thing, don't get it wrong, but I don't want your family to involve with us when I move to the US. And this all comes from the fact that one of Gino's cousins ended up making a very public accusatory post about her on Instagram. And I say post, I mean commented on a picture or something. And I believe the comment said something along the lines of, are you really in love with him or something? So she didn't like that, clearly. And she just wanted to make a point of, hey, we do not want this. Don't let this happen. And then Gino was like, well, I don't like you generalizing my whole family here over this. So I don't want that. You just have to meet them and get to know them first. And then says, hell, you know what? Would you be down to video call with him? And she said yes. And I was like, okay, so that's next week's episode set up now.
I know, right? And again, I'm actually not even defending Jasmine, but she goes from like 0 to 100 so quickly. And I want Gino to stand up, right? I almost was cheering when he walked out of the ring store and was like, what are you going to do? I'm not going to buy it. Like, you can't keep doing this. And she was like, oh, you're right. Actually, I am not going to do anything. So here again, if she's moving to your, you know, life, right? She's moving into literally your whole life. I'm going to need everyone to compromise, right? Like, everyone needs to do 70-70s, you know, whatever, 30-70s, all of that. So people need to decide. And I'm going to need Gino to, you know, hold his own and be like, hey, Dana, aka his cousin, I need you to be kind, right? And stop calling her sugar baby. Instead of just constantly, I think, pushing Jasmine to be like, I don't think my family would be mean to you. I don't think that's happening. And Jasmine goes, no, I have text messages.
Yeah, I feel like the incorrect move is to have the two of them talk when they are not in a good space together. And the right move would be for him to have the backbone to, you know, hold his ground and stand up for Jasmine. If that's truly his intention, that's what he needs to do. Now, that's not what they're doing. So next week's going to be drama, and you're going to want to be here to see how it goes, audience, because it's not going to be pretty. The next time on didn't look like it was going to go well. So we'll see.
Yeah, they're going to fight again. Oh, like rinse and repeat.
Well, that's next week's problem.
Yes, this not week, mine.
Let's talk about a problem that's been ongoing, and we revisit Nicola and Misha, who we've not seen on the show in about 2 weeks. Not a lot was shown here anyway. So here's what happened. Last time we saw them, they had that big argument where Misha's basically just trying to be understood, and Nicola's like, you're just being loud and you're getting emotional. These make no sense. We have a lifetime to work on things, and fully not understanding the point. Sasha, what was your take on where we got here?
So, oh my God, like, there was a lot of issues here, right? We have noticed for a while that Nicola just isn't meeting her where she needs. He's like a little too blunt. And I think all of that is now finally coming out, right? And I think finally Misha's like, this is what I need. I need you to like show up for me. I need you to be kind. And I just have to say, when he talks about how in the Middle East, there isn't a lot of PDA, from personal experience in Israel, me thinks that's not true.
I was going to say it depends country to country.
Yeah.
Like, for example, in the UAE, where I was born and raised, the UAE stands for United Arab Emirates, kind of like the Emirates equal states, if you want to get technical. And there's 7 Emirates combined. They form the UAE. I lived in one of the Emirates in Sharjah, and they were a lot more conservative than Dubai. Dubai is a little bit more westernized, a little bit more open to things. But even there's certain things you cannot do. So it really depends region to region. I'm happy you're here to give us some insight, because you're saying in Israel, that's not really. Do you think this is not so much a cultural thing as much as it might be a familial thing?
Or like a religious thing, right? That's like fair. Maybe that's true, but I'm just saying from personal experience and from folks that I know, you know, like I know folks in Israel. And this is not just like a one. Hey, Sasha, like one person doesn't speak for everyone. This is like multiple like people that I know that live in Israel. When they're in high school, their boyfriend stays the night.
So here's my other bit of curiosity. He seemed to make this like a one topic issue.
Yes.
Where the problem is that I'm not giving her PDA. Whereas to me, I feel like she's not even asking for PDA. She's asking for, because he was like, you know, she doesn't understand that we do stuff in private. I was like, my guy, her problem is that in private, you're not understanding the point either. I feel like what she wanted was for him to just be open. Right. Share.
Yeah. And me. Be nice.
Yeah. Be nice. Understand. Listen to me. Understand me. And then share our love with your family. Because when you're not sharing it with family, it feels like you're hiding me. If you're hiding me, that might mean you're either ashamed of me or you don't think they'll approve or something. Paranoia starts running rampant. And then when you are not being intimate, and obviously for them, it's a little bit different because the intimacy was never going to be sex. Right. Because exactly. They're not going to do that before marriage. But when you're not willing to cuddle and when you're like, Misha, stop, like you're doing too much. Like, how is that going to help me at all? Whereas he just made it all seem like it's all about the PDA and we don't do that here.
Yeah. And I think it almost felt like he was moving the conversation so that he didn't have to take accountability. Whereas from I think since they showed up. Y'all have been talking about it on the podcast, right? Where it's like, he's like, you're so messy. He woke her up at 7 a.m., right? The day after she landed. It's just something is not clicking for him. And I don't think he understands how to be with the partner or be with the woman.
And yeah. I think that's very clear. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's what we're struggling with here. It's more that... He is not understanding how to just like be a good partner and like just no one's even saying PDA. I feel like he doesn't know how to almost just like show care.
I think it's very hard. And I think that's the great point you're reminding us of, Sasha, which is it's very evident to me that because he hasn't been in a relationship practically ever, right? A serious one at that.
Yeah.
The 7 years are a long time to be dating. And obviously there's an aspect of long distance to it. This is now in person. And to him, it's like, we've been together 7 years. We're forever now. We have our whole lives to figure everything out. Whereas for Misha, she's like, no. We are on trial right now in person to see if this meshes in person. And I feel like he's just never had this before to understand how it goes. Because when you're long distance, the full extent of the relationship is text and video calling, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's just a conversation pretty much. In person, you can be spending time with each other by just laying next to each other, by holding each other, by cuddling, by just, you know, you're both chilling there, looking at TikToks together. This is all still you hanging out. Whereas when you're apart, you're hanging out by communicating.
Yeah. And I almost feels like it's more deeper, right? Because you have to talk and you have to like share. So you end up getting like maybe more like the level, right? Gets deeper instead of, just hanging out. You're now just being like, let me tell you my deepest, darkest secrets because we've been on the phone for freaking 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the other part of it too, was when you talk to someone for 7 years and you meet them, you expect some of that energy to translate. And it right now doesn't feel like that's happening, right? Yeah, it feels like, wait, I thought we were good at communicating and we're having many issues right now with the communication.
Yeah, that's true too. Cause now that you say that, like, as soon as I watched it, I was like, how has it been 7 years? And this is the first time you're meeting.
That's what I would like to know. That's pretty much all we got from them. Although we should say that Nicola said that he understands that she doesn't like some of the ways he behaves and he wants to fix that. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see it to believe it, Nicola. We'll see what happens. But worry not, that's not going to be next week because they are not on the episode next week.
I mean, we're getting nothing.
We're really not. That's what I've learned. Now, 10 episodes into this season, there's three couples that are just not meant to be. And we're basically getting crumbs from them. Oh. But the three of them combined made it onto the cast because together they can pull content out of them. One of them is these two. The other is obviously Tyrae and his side story that's going nowhere. Yeah. And then the third one is Amanda and Razvan, to me, a little bit, where we clocked it from episode one and we're on episode 10 and it's still the same place. So
go ahead, girl. Give us nothing. And I think I said that to you pre-show, right? But if this episode, not this episode, this season were to end, I think we'd be like, I think I got it. It's because it's the same stuff over and over that it, the, and we're not moving forward. The Hot Mess Express isn't moving. We're stuck at the same station for a lot of these people. So I just feel like it's, I would like to say shit or get off the pot for a lot of these people.
Right. No, I agree with that. I really do agree with that. All right. Let's take a quick break, Sasha. When we get back, we will jump into the Amanda and Razvan storyline and see what's going on with them. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so let's head on over to Romania and see what's going on with the couple known as Amanda and Razvan here. We have not been seeing them a lot, as we've just mentioned. The situation here is that we've clocked from the beginning that Amanda's not ready for a relationship. She lost her husband about less than a year ago, has now met Razvan. They've gotten together over the internet, and now they get together in person. And from the minute they got together, it felt like it was on the ropes. Now, the scene opens up with Razvan saying that, you know, I feel bad. We've lost a whole week mostly to arguing. So today I want to fix it. I want us to get to a new beginning. And he takes her to a traditional Romanian restaurant. And not a lot happened here. He described the name of the dishes. They were like literal. One of the dishes was called the after the battle, one has escaped. And I thought it would be funny. But yeah, I'll take we'll take two of the after the battle, the one has escaped. Yeah, thank you. All right, cool. We'll take one of those.
The King's Sword was my favorite.
That's a good one, too. Now, you know, he mentioned that, oh, they have pork brain. That's a pretty traditional dish. Would you take pork brain? She's like, no, absolutely not. And I thought, Roswan, you're pushing your luck, because I feel like that's also a harder sell just on a general, whether traditional or not, if someone's not had it before to try it out.
Yeah. But again, is this really the content we're getting right from them? Because it just doesn't make sense that that's all we're talking about. But I think this shows how much Amanda actually isn't in sync with him, where he's like giving her so much. He's like, let's talk about this because my mom is going to cook some of this. So let's get you excited.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, right? She's a wall, a brick wall.
Yeah, so then that's a good segue for what happens, because the conversation gets brought up about, yeah, so, you know, my family, they live in Croatia right now. I want her to meet my family, but he is afraid that showing her meeting the family, she can't be difficult with the family because that's going to cause issues. That's what happened with the ex. She was being difficult and then that didn't work out. And he brings this up because she asks, well, how did things go with your mom and your ex-wife? He's like, yeah, not good. She was controlling and they don't like that. They want me to like be my own person or whatever. So what happened is he then says openly, yeah, my mom wouldn't like the idea of me moving to the States, but you know, they've known that it's always been my dream to one day be in the US. And this was like the worst thing he could have said to Amanda, because I think a light bulb went in Amanda's head to be like, oh, exit strategy. I'm not okay. It's kind of green cardy to me. It feels like a scam.
Yep.
And I thought, literally, this man's done nothing but placate and try and be there for you. I do not think he got with you for the sake of going to America. That is a ridiculous notion.
Yeah, and can I tell you the 180 I feel like I've done right on this man? Because I was like, oh, like he's not ready for a commitment. She's like bringing her kids into this. This is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. No, in reality, he's like trying to make things work. He's like, I actually really enjoy America. And like, that's why I'd like to come. I feel this is how I read it. And, you know, I'm open to being wrong, but I read it as, it's not even just about you. It's like, I also really enjoy America and I've always been into it. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because I think he's trying to show that like this has always been something he was excited about and he's, you know, finally being able to go there. That's why he was so quick to get a visa there. Again, I don't read it as a bad thing, and I'm quick to point out like men being wrong.
I think the one argument that could be made is that I disagree as well that he is not ready for a relationship. I think he is. I think you could make the argument that he's rushing a little. That's definitely possible,
okay.
Right? With the going ahead with the visa and stuff. But I feel like the notion that he wants to go, he's always dreamed of going to the States, so he's using you as the vessel to get there, is not fair. Yes, I do not think that's the case at all. He could easily get a visa to go there whenever he wants. He booked this visa to go there to meet your children and like see where the relationship goes with you. So for you to think that he's trying to underhandedly do that, because let's remind everybody that they're not engaged. So it's not like he's going there on a K-1 visa. He applied for a visit visa alone without her knowing. So he could go regardless. He doesn't need Amanda to go to the US and see how that's like, right? It's like, it could be on his bucket list, but it doesn't need to be through Amanda necessarily. So
yeah, and I think he's just trying to match the energy of dating someone with kids.
He's trying to be like, I'm super committed to the cause. Like, I will come hang out with your children. Exactly. I want to get to know them. And she's like, whoa, we're not ready. But also, this is forever. And my kids, I need to make sure we're good because these are my kids and their lives are my lives. I was like, yeah, well, he's trying to show you that he's willing. And you're like, nah, it's too soon. It's like, okay, well, is it too soon? Or is it not soon enough? Because it can't be both.
Yes.
You can't in one sentence be like, are you ready to be a father to my children? And then next sentence be like, well, it's good that you're ready, but you're not doing that because it's too soon. Like, why are we doing this?
No, I love it. That's exactly how I feel. And that encapsulates like everything, where it's almost that whatever he wants, Puya, she'll just say the opposite, right? So if he's like, oh, you're going too fast, I need to slow down, she'll be like, oh, he doesn't want to do it, actually, because, you know, that's why he's not about it. You know, I have kids, I can't do casual, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's so damned if you do, damned if you don't. And again, this could just be her personality. You know, sometimes like folks don't necessarily pop on camera, but it feels like it's all him, right? Like having conversations and she's only responding and that's it. I feel like we're getting almost nothing from her.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very, 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 very good point, because he tried to back off a little, but then that doesn't help him in the are we compatible corner, because yeah. Oh, I'm not feeling the things. But then if he's doing stuff, it's like, oh, that's too fast. It's confusing, but it is time that we introduce the MVP NPC of this episode, which is the non-main couple person on the episode that to me won the whole night. That is, of course, the next scene. So Razvan's friend contacts him and says, hey, we got a pool party going, you should show up, like y'all should come hang out. And he's like, yeah, that could work out for us. You know, before he prefaced it by saying, listen, just a reminder, I don't care about America, I care about you. I want to be with you. That's what I want. But also, my friend invited us to the pool. You want to go? You want to go meet people, hang out? That could be fun. She's like, yeah, okay. So they go, and he says, like, you know, this is probably a good opportunity for us to reset. Once again, they already tried to reset at the restaurant, didn't work out. Now they're resetting again, and we meet the friend who made this pool party possible, Sasha. We meet Diana.
Oh, I queen.
Love me some Diana. Diana is awesome.
Diana was made for the show, right? Like she was, they told production was like, I need you to like, quote unquote, host this party. I need you to like ruffle some feathers, call it like you see it, do a little moment and look badass while you do it. And she said, noted. I got it.
This was the one part of my notes where I felt like, you know, Big Brother started about 5 days ago. And I felt like I was watching the live feeds, because I was like, Diana pulls Amanda aside for a one-on-one and then proceeds to directly ask her all the questions she wants to her face without stuttering. And I loved it. So let's give y'all the insight of what happened here. So first of all, they're all hanging out, like it's the party in general. They're all hanging out at a table. And Diana asks, well, actually, let me not get ahead of myself, Sasha. Amanda made a comment here that I didn't love. Amanda has mentioned that she is a jealous person, a little insecure in the relationship. That's all allowed. You're allowed to be jealous. You're allowed to be insecure, especially if you recognize it's a huge plus. What I wasn't okay with is saying that, you know, it was wrong, or like she felt jealous because Diana's wearing a thong bikini. It's like, yes, and it's a pool party, Amanda. What did you think was going to happen? People wear swimwears to a pool party. This is a thing that happens.
And first of all, let women dress however, the people dress however they want, right? Like, what has it done to you, right? Like, you are an attractive woman. Your body, amazing. So if she wants to dress like an amazing, attractive human with a pulse, let her. But I don't know. I just don't appreciate people, especially women, when they talk about like other women in this derogatory way. Like I just, it's not for me. I'm not about it. And I don't understand why women have, like, why is it Diana's issue? Why isn't it Rosalind's issue? If he apparently can't look around.
Right. I just feel like I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And I wrote it down because I didn't feel good about it either. But I also, it set up where this was going to go for me. I knew where the conclusion was going to be the minute we saw that comment. So at the table, I would say maybe Razvan made a boo-boo. So, you know, Diana says, why, you know, did you bring your swimsuit? Amanda's like, no, I didn't. And then Razvan's like, yeah, well, she's on her period, so she's not going to be swimming. And I thought, you can still swim, right? Like, that's a thing you can do, I'm pretty sure. But also, or should you be saying this to the table, Ross Vaughn?
Okay, that is when I was like, oh, boys are so dumb sometimes, yeah. Right? Like, this is where you're just like, you're so woke and, you know, like, it's all cool and you're actually such a feminist that it's not a big deal. You know, like, it's, and we've seen it from him many times. Red lights don't bother him. He's fine with it. They're not like Gary on Below Deck. So we know that it's fine. But the tea is maybe she's not fine with it. And we don't, and she doesn't feel like announcing it to the table. So while I appreciate a good feminist that's like, it's not a big deal, sometimes like read the room.
See, I hadn't thought of that. What you're saying is you think that in a way to prove that stuff like this doesn't faze him and that he, you know, he's positive about all of it. He said it openly, almost like when a guy's like, yeah, I bought tampons for my wife type situation. Like, they announce it like it's a badge of honor that they're not afraid to talk about it kind of thing.
The way it read was so subconscious. Like, I think it was just like, it's a thing. Like, she's on her period, like that. Like, I just felt like it was so basic that in his mind, I don't even think he thought that it's a big deal, because to him, it's not a big deal. But I see your way too, right? Because of how he's been talking. But remember, he said, like, I don't care, you're on your period, I still want to.
He said something worse. You like, the king's sword? He said something about a sword, but we don't need to.
You are correct. But see, that's what I'm saying. So I just feel like he actually doesn't give a shit. Like,
I think that's what it is more so as well. I don't think he was like, let me show how.
Yeah.
Understand. No, I don't think it was that at all. I mean, this is Ross Vaughn, right? Who has been very blunt and open, and I don't think necessarily realizes how much. And maybe this is a cultural thing. I don't know, because Diana's very open as well. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, yeah, we just say the stuff we mean. And we said, like, when she was asking for translation, when he was talking to his producer, he didn't stutter. He's like, yeah, no, we figured that this might be a bit of a test for you to see how you feel about the model at the music video or whatever. So to me, this is just him saying stuff, stream of consciousness. And yes, Amanda is aghast that this was just announced here. And she does give him some daggers. You know that thing when your partner says something that you either didn't think they should have or you didn't think they would. You give them the look of like, haha, we're smiling, but you better not say the next sentence. You better shut up. Yeah. So she gives him one of those. And Diana not only clocks this, but immediately then says, come with me, Amanda. I want to talk to you one-on-one. Let's go for a walk and then have a talk.
It's hilarious because she says, look at her eyes. Her eyes.
She said it publicly. She didn't stutter. She didn't hold back.
And she didn't say it in a different language.
No, it was in English. Rosalind's parents may not speak English, but Diana does, and she did, okay? So they go for the one-on-one walk, and this is why she becomes the MVP of the episode. She asks her, first and foremost, are you, like, what is this relationship right now? Are you, like, good? Is this a dream, or is this, like, you're, is this convenient, or are you in love, basically, is where she goes with this, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, and I think it's the way, you know, the power stance that she's sitting in, and she gives off such like don't give an F energy, but
alpha energy.
Yeah, alpha. Yes, thank you. Like, she's very much the alpha energy, and Amanda unfortunately just isn't that. So I think all of it together, Diana was just not liking from Amanda, because she was like, I need you to be an alpha. Like, let's talk. But Americans as a whole, like, I don't think are like this, right? Like, they're not very confrontational, especially Amanda's from the South or Midwest, at least, unless I'm just so lost.
I can fact check while you continue.
Yeah, but either way, I think from what we've known from Amanda, right, is it feels like she's not direct. That's been an issue with Roswan and her. So the
from
fact
Louisiana.
That Louisiana. Okay, yes. So yeah, like Southern people just like aren't mean to your face like this. So it feels like all of that coming together, Amanda cannot handle. And she like, unfortunately, folds like a laundry.
Right. Well,
gone.
That's the thing. If I was in Amanda's shoes, I think I would be taken aback a little by how forward Diana's being. But I feel like these are questions that Amanda needed to be confronted with, because I don't know who slipped Diana the information, because I don't think a look is enough for you to draw all these conclusions. She seemed like she had watched the footage almost, because she does ask you, are you in love with him, or are you, is this just convenient right now? Is this just it's nice to have someone be here at the moment? And basically Amanda's response to that was, yeah, no, this is you. We're good. Like I really like him and I care for him. It's like, well, when I look in your eyes, it says I love you so much, but it also says I want to kill you. And to me, that signifies a toxic relationship. Now, the phrase toxic relationship definitely is a harsher one to describe a relationship.
Yeah, I think toxic. It's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think she should have said it.
I feel like that could have gotten lost in translation. I don't necessarily think she meant toxic as toxic per se.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it could have escalated. Maybe it's like a, I don't know. I don't know what the correct phrase is there, but toxic definitely feels like the further down. Like it's like the way I would say it is, on a scale of sober to hammered, I was buzzed. You know what I mean? It's kind of like,
yeah,
that.
Okay.
Like saying someone's buzzed versus saying someone's hammered is two different stories. And if someone had a drink and you said they're hammered, like, I don't know if that's how I would describe myself. Because her walls immediately go up the minute she hears the word toxic. And I feel like I'd be in the same spot.
Yeah, if someone said, hey, your relation to Liana's toxic, excuse you.
I'd be like, who are you? No, it's not. What?
How? Mind your life.
Yeah. So then, you know, Amanda's like, no, I actually have love for him. Like, I care for him. I'm in love with him. She's like, how can you be in love and it's only been 6 days? Make me understand. Make me understand this.
And make I thought it make sense.
That it was Diana a little bit of entrapment to me, Sasha, yes. Because I will say Diana led with, are you in love or is this just convenient? And she's like, oh, it's love. Is it though? It's only been 6 days. How? Tell me how it's love in 6 days. She also tells Amanda, listen, he has suffered a lot. I don't want him to go through this stuff again. His heart was a prison after the ex. I don't want him to be played with. So please don't play with him. And Diana tells us that she feels like this is attachment, not love. And I feel like this is what we said episode one, that this feels more like this is someone who has been serving you as a good distraction and, you know, taking your mind off of some of the harder stuff you've gone through in the last year.
Yeah.
But that maybe you weren't ready for a relationship. And I think that's what Diana was saying here. And I was very here for it. I know that. So the thing that happened after this was obviously Amanda went, I think she might just be jealous. Maybe she wants Roswan for herself. And I thought, I think if she wanted Roswan, she could have Roswan. I don't think that's what it is. I think she's just the protective friend who has seen her friend get hurt and put himself in a relationship that didn't work and doesn't want that to happen again.
1,000%. I think that she's noticing their hostility. And here's the thing. I almost think she should have been like, it's been 6 days. Why are y'all fighting? Because the energy is not matching. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what's going on. And I'm mad because I didn't write down the exact comment. But besides the looks, the conversation about the city versus small town, right? Yeah. And Amanda's like, well, you know, I'm adjusting to the city, blah, blah, blah. It's an urban area. And I feel like Roswan was like, yeah, I think she's like doing well, blah, blah, blah. And Amanda's like, no, I mean, I'm not used to it. A small town, right? Or whatever. They're like fighting about that. I don't have the exact conversation. But I was like, in these moments, when you're meeting someone's friends for the first time, you have to almost like big up their friend, right? Like, I'm so into your friend. This is amazing, blah, blah, blah. Instead, she's arguing about cities and towns and urban areas. Like, why?
I don't know what it is. I really don't. I'm just happy that Diana kind of gut checked her a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what I'm not happy about is that next week we do see Razvan in tears because I guess Amanda told him that she doesn't think this is going to work out. So I guess the advice kind of didn't work, maybe, but we'll see.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's just the pain in their tears next week is a lot.
A lot. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, then. Shall we just quickly, and when I say quickly, I mean quickly, go over to Tyrae. Because I'm not going to try and give this more time than the show did. And I want to give it less time than the show did. Tyrae, of course, is the man who was catfished by someone named Christian pretending to be Carmela, a woman from the Barbados who is not actually from the Barbados. We find out through a private investigator that Carmela is actually someone who works, I think, a cam website in the States. And Tyrae has gotten in contact with the real Carmela and is now planning on visiting the real Carmela, who lives close to Denver, I guess, to get closure. All of this is fine. He still has theories where maybe Carmela was in on the scam. Maybe Carmela like knows more. Maybe Christian and Carmela were in cahoots and then still bought the real Carmela, who he does not know, a present to show gratitude.
Yep. I laughed. And here's my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, okay, go on.
Tyrae needs a chick. And I think that is why Tyrae is doing all of this.
Did you say check or chick?
Check. He needs the money.
Because they offered him in episode one. They said, if you want, we'll stop rolling the cameras right now. And he was like, no, keep him going. Because, I mean, again, I don't know what the pay structure is, but it's at least $1,000 an episode. And I think $2,500 for a reunion. Okay, so that's not bad money. That's what, 10 grand? I mean, he's not been on every episode, but that's, at least $5,000. He's been on 5 episodes, half of them, let's say. So, you know, I think the money is not too shabby, right? But also, I feel like, if I was in his shoes, I don't know if the money's worth going through all this on national television, but.
Listen, you never know. Or he really is. Like, for me personally, it would bother me, right? That someone is so painful. Like, if someone has played me so hard and then they've ghosted me, like, I would want to know more. So there is, I'm sure, part of that. And that is true. And, you know, he is a good person. But if it's not for a check, I would like this to end. You know what I mean? Just give him the money somehow.
Yeah, listen, I still feel bad for him. That's a 4-year relationship that he fully thought was a thing and now has been told is not a thing and is trying to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. And then the episode ends with him waiting to see if Carmela shows up to the bar that he's at. I hope she does. I hope he gets closure and I hope we move on from it because stop playing with this man's heart. Like stop putting, he is so convinced that something else is going on when it's so clearly a simple case of you got scammed and it's not a great feeling, but you did get scammed. So.
And he's making up stories, right? Like maybe this person is part of the scheme. Maybe they're all part of it and they're all out to get me. And his poor sisters are now along for the ride.
Right. Yeah, because the sisters are going with him on this trip as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, unfortunately, that is Tyrae's story that is still continuing on the show, but hopefully we don't have to talk about much more. But it will be on next week. So we'll get at least maybe the payoff of this next week on the episode. But for now, let's move on over to a couple that has one part very normal partner, one part very delusional and fast working partner. I'm, of course, talking about Statler and Dempsey Sasha. Take it away.
Boy, howdy. What is going on with these two, right? Okay. So, you know, we're in the caravan, the trailer home, and, you know, we're in the English countryside. And of course, Statler, cannot believe she's actually here. It's very cold and she can't, and it's just, they've dropped us into cold shower time, right? Like we went from golden showers to cold showers now. And we just get a lot of like Statler being uncomfortable living with this life that Dempsey loves.
Yeah, so Statler told us this when we first met her, that she would like to at some point bring up the fact that she wants to move in with Dempsey. And I thought, exaggerative, that's fine. But then the more and more we learned, I was like, no. That is what she is trying to do, which is move in. I don't have a lease. The lease is up in a month. And move in. But I also don't like the accommodations. Can we talk about the fact that the episode starts with they're going to meet Dempsey's dad this episode? And Statler has not bathed since being here because the water is too cold.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot that that was because of that. Yes, I forgot that piece of it. Oh my God. And the way that she is just like wondering, right? Like, I don't think I can do this. No, girl, you got to wash your butt. Like, please. Because like, are you not going to the bathroom?
You can still do a full shower in 3 minutes if you're really determined to get out of a cold water.
Yes.
Because how cold is this water?
No, I'm sure it's freezing. No, I'm sure. Like, as someone that enjoys only like hot
water. Even in the summer I'm taking hot showers only.
Yeah, that's me too. So if it gets cold, especially when I'm washing my hair and it gets like too hot, then and I turn it to a little cold, I'm like, no, uncomfortable, I hate it. So I understand that piece, but my point is, if I'm gonna meet somebody's parent, I'm gonna do everything to look good. Because how are you not gonna wash your hair the night before? Maybe, but still, I'm just like, I feel like I gotta wash my hair. I gotta look nice. I can't just look a mess.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. She was very hesitant to do this. Does the bathing. But then also to me, this is another big sign of you're not even willing to take the shower, and you don't like that it's claustrophobic and that the space isn't long. Like all of this put together. Then tell me, how am I supposed to believe that you were going to want to move here? And how is it not all to do with this lease? Because you're clearly not happy in this space, but you're like, I have no choice. I got to do this. So we'll put a pin in that for now. Let's go to meeting the dad. So we meet the dad at the pier, and we learn that the reason Dempsey hadn't brought up Statler to her dad is because her dad, A, is protective, B, did not like the last relationship she was in, and doesn't want to see his daughter get hurt. Okay. Now, Statler and Dempsey, we have documented a lot on this show, are a very awkward couple. The interactions are awkward. It got more awkward with dad because, first of all, Statler, when they all sat down, didn't utter a word for a long time. And then dad is, you know, Dempsey's like, how's the coffee? Dad is like, he's like, forget the coffee. I'm here to talk about you. I'm here to talk about, get to know her. Like, tell me more. And Dempsey's so awkward in this conversation. At one point, her dad looks over to Statler and says, you know, you can say something if you want. Like, you're allowed to talk as well.
Oh my God. And all of this is just giving me like the cringe factor times 100, because every confessional from Statler is just like, I'm going to move in. We're moving in. My lease is wrapping up. I got to move in.
Dempsey doesn't know this yet.
Nothing. And then cut to Dempsey. I just need Statler to not be full on. I just need her to basically not be herself.
Foot off the brake a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
The juxtaposition of those two confessionals, editing genius. But this is where I think Dempsey's dad is caught up, because I think he's noticing the energy here.
Yeah, no, he definitely picks up on this for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says you can join it at any time. And then he asks her, well, have you been to England before? And by the way, on the drive to the pier, Dempsey ends up asking, what did she ask Statler? She asked something along the lines of, you know, we're going to, God, I wrote this down. Give me 1 second here. I did not write this down, maybe. Okay. So, okay. She was like, yeah, we're going to Saltburn and we're going to have a proper English group. We're going to have a proper English meal at Saltburn. And then, have you been to Sawbird? No. And then she mentioned like these other three, four places that she has been.
Yep.
And Dempsey was like, that is a lot of places that you've been. How long were you here last time? She said 4 weeks. And then Dempsey said, oh, okay. Well, how was your connection to the other person? Because if I'm Dempsey, I'm like, hold on. You've been here long enough where you've done a tour of all these locations with this person. They must have been great. She says, no, nothing compared to you at all. The answer was good. She basically reaffirms to Dempsey, No, I didn't feel what I felt with you. And then Dempsey Sattler said, ah, to be in love. And Dempsey was like, what was that? What did you say? She's like, oh, nothing. I didn't say anything. And she kind of soft launched the love to gather temperature. Now, if I'm Sattler and that's the reaction I got, I'm like, okay, I shouldn't say anything. That's the move. The reason I'm bringing this up again is because this is going to be important later and we nearly glossed over it. So we'll go back to the meeting with Dad. Now, Dempsey ends up taking their order of what they want, goes inside to pick up the food, and it's a one-on-one now between Sattler and Dempsey's dad. And Sattler cannot shut her mouth and tells Dad, yeah, you know, I've actually been thinking about moving in with her and... you know, I feel like that could be something that we can do. And like my lease is running out. She overshares with the dad. And this, remember, is the dad who says, I do not want things to move too fast. So the dad immediately clocks Sattler's moving way too quickly. And then later, when he gets one-on-one time with Dempsey, he's like, she seems nice and all, but just, you know, slow down. Don't rush into things here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, take your time on this. And Dempsey says that this weighs on her thoughts now. What her dad said is going to have an impact on her, which is important to know because the next scene we see, it's Valentine's Day. And Sattler thinks things went really well with Dempsey's dad to the point where she says, I think it's probably the best meet the parents I've ever had. And this doesn't help Dempsey feel good because Dempsey knows that dad said she seems nice, but y'all are rushing. And also, didn't Ben, the friend, also say the same thing last week?
100%. And... yeah. I think where Sattler's social cues are not the best because Sattler and Dempsey said it, but I feel like Sattler should have just been like, oh, it happened. Let's move on. But Dempsey was like, she's into English women like a lot.
I did not like that because it made it seem like it's more of a, like, not a fetish, but like, you know, it didn't seem like Dempsey's the one for me. It felt like if you're British, I'm down. And that's not good.
Yeah, that's what I felt like the fact that then they were just kind of talking about it. I was like, no, cut the cameras, dead ass, right? Like, end this conversation. We don't need to keep talking about it or about this other person in front of Dad. Like, that's weird.
Very weird. Extremely weird. Now, Dempsey goes to work, okay? Dempsey goes to work and Sattler unveils what she did. So yesterday she said she was going to go into the store and pick up some things for herself, but actually she ended up buying bouquets, plural, of roses, and she is planning a scavenger hunt, and then this scavenger hunt is going to culminate in her saying the three words. She said that yesterday I said it, but I didn't say it. I need to say it the right way. I need to say it with the three words. So I am going to tell Dempsey that I love her tonight. And this is going to be a mess. This is going to be a mess because then Sattler says, yeah, the last time I did this with my ex, she said it was moving too quickly. So I hope that's not the case here. I don't think it's going to be with Dempsey. It is the case here. You're doing what you did last time and it's going to have the same result, Sattler. Are you ready? And then don't ask if you can move in after that either because it's not going to get there.
And that's my point. I think clicking for me personally is... how it's so obvious to us on the outside,
yes,
that she is looking for love. She is looking for someone to just hold her and keep her safe, right? She's looking for that love, that safety, et cetera, et cetera. And it could be anyone that's nice to her. it's how it feels sometimes. And I'm not blaming her. I feel like it makes sense. She has so much trauma probably that maybe she's dealt with. Maybe she hasn't. I don't know. But I feel like she's putting a lot of that onto this relationship. And I don't feel like it's fair to say that my lease is ending. So Dempsey, you gotta just take me in, basically. Like, that's weird. That's
not a bit of a love bombing situation.
Yes, and that's like, how this works.
Sorry. Yeah, it's like, I'm gonna do the most romantic gesture of your life. I'm going to tell you I love you. I'm gonna look you in the eyes, and then I'm gonna ask you to let me move in. And what are you gonna do? Be the mean person who says no? Because that would be pretty messed up. I just love you. Is that a crime? Yes, this is a crime. This is not. Yeah, okay.
You're doing too damn much. And again, it's not fair to someone that's just trying to get to know you, right? And trying to understand the relationship.
Sasha, this is what, day three of them being in the same space? Like, this has not been that long. It's not like, okay, it's been a month since we've been doing this now, and I'm feeling feelings and I want to say something.
It's day zero, right? Before she got there, she'd made the decision. So again, if for all we know, Dempsey would be cool with it and it's all good, but her confessionals currently are not giving us that. And I don't like this.
I think you need to at least have showered there four times. If you're Statler, you've showered once and you've said love once. Those shouldn't be equal at this stage of your relationship. Shower should be beating love's ass 5-1, 6-1, 7-1.
I'm into that. Yep. And I also feel like you can't be like, can I move in with you? I don't think it works like that.
No.
I feel like it can be like, we should move in together. We've done X, Y, and Z. Now I like to do it together. I do remember, like, way back in the day, maybe when she was just introduced, finding her Twitter, and she was like, folks don't understand, like, lesbians move faster than everyone else, blah, 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 which I was like, sure, but it doesn't seem like your partner is wanting this.
Right. Like, it's not like a one for one anyway. Like, also romance, love, relationships, everyone moves at their own pace. And the key formula to a relationship is figuring out what pace your partner is moving at and either accepting you're going to move at their pace or finding a middle where you're both moving in the same direction at the same time and one of you is not way ahead of the other. Because the other thing I want to say on a logistic standpoint, if I had less than a month left on my lease, do you think I'd be in another country? No.
That's what I'm saying. None of this is adding up correctly. Because what, you're going to go home in the next week, basically, and pack everything up and turn around and come back? Make it make sense.
I cannot, because it is nonsensical. There's no sense to be made here. Anyway, next time on, the moving in together thing does get brought up. So again, payoff comes next week for a lot of these couples. So could be a very fun, very dramatic episode next week. We will be here and ready to go. What I'm not ready for, though, Sasha, is to talk about Christian and Cleo, because similar to Gino and Jasmine, they had me in the first half, but in a good way. And then the second half wrecked me, completely wrecked me. So I just got to say, we got to probably call Chappelle in, because Chappelle needs to book a ticket and he's going to brawl somebody. I know.
Yeah, let him do this, because I'm tired of this guy. Right. Like, yeah, he should have never gotten on the plane in the first place. He's playing in her face constantly. And I just need Cleo to find a man that's going to love her the way she deserves and not this like balding weirdo.
So let's tuck into what happened with the two of them. Obviously, last week we saw them have a stay-at-home date where Christian whipped out the virtual reality set. They had a good time. They had a meal. It was good. Then when they went to bed, they had the conversation where Christian mentioned, I'm not the one to make the first move usually. And then Cleo said, well, I'm not the one to make the first move usually. And it felt a little awkward. However, she's meeting up with her friend Jane today to kind of talk about everything. And she tells Jane, so last night actually ended up going really well. We had the date. We did the virtual reality stuff, zombie game, blah, 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 fun, fun, fun. Then we had a conversation. It was a little awkward. But then when the lights went off, he gave me a couple of kisses on my cheek. I gave him a kiss back. And before you know it, we sealed the deal. So, yay, they have had sex now. They've been intimate. And this is a good thing because this will probably take some of the tension off. And to Cleo, it makes Cleo feel validated in the relationship in that, okay, no, he's not like embarrassed. He's not ashamed. Mm-hmm. He's not questioning me. He loves me. He likes me. He's into me. And this is the confirmation of that. So all of this is good. This feels great. Now, we then switch over to the, oh, and Cleo also says that it felt more like making love and not having sex, which I thought was very sweet.
Yeah, bless your heart. That's yeah. So cute. Not, couldn't be me, but that's very sweet.
Well, meanwhile, in the house, Christian is making food and the producer is mic'd up. So we hear the producer ask the question of, things were awkward when we left last night. He's like, yeah, they will really start off awkward, but then we hooked up. And the producer's like, did you have sex? Christian says, no. He's like, I wouldn't say we had a home run. We had like a double, which, you know, if to put this in baseball terminology, in case some of you may be unfamiliar, first base is kissing. Second base is, you know, above the clothes, touching stuff. Third base
or above body. Yeah.
Right. Third base is bottom / oral. And then home run is when you have sex.
It's just the way Christian talks about stuff is so childish.
It really is. Like, oh, well, I wouldn't say it was a home run. It was more of a double. I was like, is this supposed to be you being facetious? Because it just feels like you just say this stuff at this point. We're all adults. This is the same show where we learned that someone urinated on someone today. So might as well tell us everything. Anyway, so he says that it did not go beyond second base, basically. And then we're like, okay, that's curious, because one of you saying we full on made love last night and the other saying we did not make love. I was like, I feel like this is not really a thing that one would think happened and one wouldn't think happened. Something happened. Who's right here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was like, is there a moment of like not understanding how things work? You know, having sex with a trans woman, like, I don't know. I'm just because I was like something, right? My brain was just trying to figure out if
he was misunderstood on what happened. Right. Because to me, it was clear as day when no one's going into depths of, I wouldn't say we just had sex, we made love, like they didn't do the things. Right.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, and I'm going to trust Cleo over him 10 on 10. Right. Time.
We've so got that's enough why. Reason to do so. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, why I was just like, what's not clicking? What am I missing?
Yeah. And then the other thing we hear Jane say before the scene ends is that meanwhile, Jane in confessional says that she feels like from all the stories she's gotten about Christian, she feels like it's a bit of a red flag that he had mentioned that he wouldn't make the first move. I feel like Cleo should be worried about him not saying that because that doesn't make sense to me. Now, the next scene, it's clearly like nighttime and they were hanging out during the day, but they're re-meeting Cleo and JR. So I think they separated and then got back together again. And here's what happened in the interim. So I guess in the middle of all these things, Cleo, first of all, is feeling sad and upset. And has fully asked Jane to accompany her to the Airbnb because she doesn't want to go alone to face Christian. We find out on the car ride to the Airbnb that they did have sex. But then midday, she gets a text from Christian that says, have you told people that we were intimate? And she says, yes. Why? Did you? And he tells her, well, I didn't say that. I said we got to second base. And Cleo feels like he's lying about the intimacy and it's making her feel like she's getting manipulated. And that the reason she feels this way is because Christian framed it as, yeah, it's better not to talk about that stuff to protect you, you being Cleo. And to me, this was incredibly selfish from Christian because be honest, if you don't want things to be said, it's to protect you. Because you don't want your family or your friends to know about this. I don't know exactly what your motive is here, but this has nothing to do with Cleo. Cleo's sharing what she feels like she wants to share. You're not protecting her by telling her to not say what she wants to say. You know what I mean?
And what does it mean protecting? Because Cleo tells us, right, that we actually had the conversation that we are willing to share with people what happened and we're okay to talk about it. So the fact that you have that conversation and now you're straight up lying, basically, right? To say, I did it to protect you. From who? Right? Like, I'm looking around shrugging because no one's, who are they in the room with us who you're trying to protect? Because it sounds like you're trying to protect yourself. And here's the thing, Puya, he sucks. And we're obviously irritated with him. But at least if he were honest, right, to be like, I'm trying to figure out what this means for me and my sexuality. And this is a lot because my family is pressuring me. But I love Cleo no matter what. It's just that sometimes it creeps up in my head. Right. At least if we got some honesty, I'd be willing to deal with it.
Same. I'm very willing because, again, when this all started, we talked about how, you know, Christian is unaware of what he might be getting involved with as far as dating a trans person and not really understanding how he's going to feel when they're in person. This is all fine. And I think Cleo would be fine with this if he was being honest and open about it. But instead, he's trying to make it seem like she's the issue or that he has no issue and she's the problem if she thinks there's an issue, right? This starts with the not wanting to do PDA at the airport when he's clearly been giving that energy the whole relationship. Then when it came to, you know, initiating romantic intimacy, he says that he's not the one to typically do the first move. And she's like, well, that's not true. I feel like
that was hogwash, right?
Right. I agree. Especially that's one of those things where, you know, kind of from the beginning or like, you know, it comes up, right? It comes up. But it didn't hear. And then, or it does hear like out of nowhere in a random spot. And now it's a, hey, we shouldn't speak about it to protect you. No, this is what you want. Be open about it. And maybe people will be more understanding. And specifically Cleo would understand you because from where Cleo's standing, you're gaslighting Cleo and you're manipulating Cleo into doing what you want without you coming off like the villain almost.
Yeah. And you're almost being like, no, but like we didn't do anything. No, we've gotten you from jump being like, my family's not OK with this. I don't want to kiss you, to now saying like, I'm not admitting to having sex. It's you. You are the drama and everyone sees it. So the fact that he can be this like confident in being right, like in acting like it couldn't be me, it's never me, I have to almost give him props for the delusion.
I don't know what game this kid thinks he's playing, but we said it from jump, don't mess with Cleo's heart. Cleo's clearly in this because she has found love, and I don't think that Christian doesn't love her, but I think what has happened is Christian may have, after sharing this conversation, sharing the relationship with his family, has felt like, oh, they don't approve and I don't think I can pursue the relationship anymore. That is fine. If that is something that
doesn't want to come off like transphobic.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I feel. Yeah, I agree.
That's how listen, none of this is proven or factual.
Allegedly.
It's just it's how we are feeling about the situation and the energy we're getting from Christian here. It's the attempt to change the narrative to fit his shoes better, fit his story better, which is just not going to happen here. The next time on, we see them talking and it is about the whole thing of like, we had sex. No, we didn't. Or we're not. Why are we not talking about it kind of thing? So we'll get that next week. Again, given the next time on, next week's episode is about to be a banger for drama. So we'll see. And then also David and Sheila are in the next episode. And I feel like they're just two nice people and we should leave them alone. But they're going to talk about how I guess Sheila's asking about whether or not David can afford some of the expenses or all the expenses for the house. And David can't because he doesn't have that much money. So again, seems like a normal conversation to me. They made it seem like it's going to be a fight. I don't think these two are going to fight.
Yeah, I don't think it's a fight or like a gold digging or some version of that situation. I think genuinely look at Sheila's situation in multiple ways.
I think she's just asking and David's going to say, I can't. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, but, like, yeah. You know, or they might have like a, oh, I really need help, which we know she does, right? Like, look at where they live and mm-hmm. the funeral expenses.
And the state of the house, like, yeah. after the disaster. So, like, it's, it, they've gone, that has gone through it.
I'm just going to need Sheila's whole family to, like, move to America at this point so that they can be, like, safe and okay.
I agree. Don't tell Amanda.
No, please, Amanda, it's not for America.
Okay, so here is where we are now, Sasha. We are at the end of the episode. We do have one little task of doing the power rankings. Do you think we're going to be capable? Because everyone's in the bin. Like, Tyree's not on the list.
For all. No, Tyree, yeah. just get, he's in the get money.
Yeah, he's not even on the power ranking, so he gets removed. Last week, I was solo, so I ended up putting David and Sheila top, Statler and Dempsey second, Gino and Jasmine third, Christian and Cleo fourth, Riley and Violet fifth. At this point, I feel like I want to put Christian and Cleo in the bottom. Like,
yes.
100%. Last. I would probably put Gino and Jasmine number one.
Yeah. Oh my God. I think we're, this is where we get canceled. This is all the one stars this come is, in.
How did, and some people will be like, how did this episode get them to number one? Because it happened. Because it happened and they found love in a jacuzzi place.
Oh.
Okay. It happened. It just did. Okay. It did. That and everyone else didn't find love. They lost love, if anything. Amanda and Razvan in the bin.
Which we like enjoyed, but I feel like I was always kind of low on them. But maybe I'm wrong.
On who?
On Amanda and Razvan. I was like, this isn't gonna work. But I
mean, it didn't feel like it would. This is a season where I feel like 4 out of 5 couples are just done, and they're just riding the motions here.
Yeah, and again, I love Dempsey, but Statler is doing the absolute most, and I don't like it. So you're right. It's because of one person per couple that I'm getting pissed off at everyone.
You know what's wild about all this? We're in a world where arguably second place should be Misha and Nicola.
Oh my, you're right. Just at this point, only because we've gotten 1 minute of them.
They escaped the longer edit. If the episode had 4 more minutes, they might be tied for last place with everybody else. But right. In this instance, yeah. So to make it official, Gino and Jasmine number one, Nicola and Misha in number two. Then you've got Statler and Dempsey, Cleo and Christian, and Amanda and Razvan in pretty much tied for last. Depending on how you look at things, you could break the ties one way or another. I would put Cleo and Christian last. I would put Amanda and Razvan second to last, and then Statler and Dempsey in the middle, third place.
Yeah, because I think Dempsey is so sweet, and Statler, I think, just needs like therapy. And
I think Statler just needs to be honest, and then Dempsey will respond with honesty. I think going all the way to England with the hidden agenda of moving in with your partner who you've not met in person yet, and then love bombing them to get that is kind of shady. But I think if she's open with Dempsey on how she feels, I feel like Dempsey will at least let her down easy, if not talk through it. So
agreed. So let's see. I think again, Dempsey saving this and bringing y'all to third.
Yeah. If I was to say, if I'm picking a team of which person from each couple am I rooting for, or is my rooting interest, Cleo, Razvan, Dempsey, Misha, who am I picking between Gino and Jasmine?
I think, okay, if Jasmine is in it for the con, I like to take his money and run. I pick Jasmine because I'll never forget that he
sent
like revenge porn her.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason. Otherwise, deplorable, both of them.
I pick Jasmine's sister, Liz. I pick Liz. I'm rooting for Liz.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sasha, we have come to the end of the podcast. What a roller coaster it's been. Thank you so much for coming on. As always, let the people know, where can they find you and what other projects you have going on at the moment?
Yes. Like Puya said, I cover a pop culture, hot topic, celebrity gossip podcast with Kirsten McKenna's called Must Magnets over on Rob Has a Podcast. So check that out. And with Chappelle, I talk Below Deck Down Under, a really fun, ridiculous Hookup Central series. It's on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube or the Bravo TV Rahap Ups feed. And with Chappelle, I'm also talking or wrapping up Never Have I Ever Season 4. So check that out on Never Have I Ever by Silent Podcast. That's the feed name. And with Jason Reed, all the trigger warnings, but I am covering Special Ops Lioness on Post Show Recaps feed. So check all of that out. And if you can't keep track, just follow me on Twitter at funsize_04, for all this mess. Thank you, Puya. Again, always a joy to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you on, Sasha. I just think about if the weeks were reversed and I had to do this episode solo, I may have evaporated mid-podcast. So thank you so much for being here with me.
End it.
Yeah, I'd be like, all right, no one to bounce off of. Let me just tell you what I had to hear. y'all can find me on Twitter, of course, at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That is where I am when I'm not on a podcast. So come through and say hi. I would appreciate it, of course. And Big Brother season is officially upon us. You can find me every Friday on the live feed update talking about what I saw on the feeds. And let me tell you, 5 days in, it's been a banger. So I'm very excited for those. This season should be a good time. And also, I will be talking Traders twice a week because Traders New Zealand and Traders Australia have decided to both premiere about a week apart in August. So it's going to be a busy month in August for me. But if you want to hear me talk about Traders, there will be a Traders feed independent, but it's also going to be on the Rahap Ups feed. So if you're here already, you do not need to go anywhere else. And last but not least, of course, if you could leave a rating and review for this podcast, it does help me out that people can find the podcast and also gives me feedback of what works, what may not work. And as always, your 5 stars are truly, truly appreciated by me. But for now, we have arrived at our destination here on the Hot Mess Express. I hope you had fun with us. And we will catch y'all next time. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.